I first met Johnny Fallon when we were in school together in St. Miles College, and from the earliest memories I have of Johnny, whenever you had a conversation with him, invariably the topics of local politics and Fianna Fáil in particular would always come up. With that amount of passion that young for politics, it came really as no surprise that this was a guy who successfully wrote and launched a book, Party Time Growing Up in Politics.
Johnny Fallon is the name, and I'm from Newtown Cashel in County Longford. And I went to school in St. Mel's College in Longford, and I'm from Oyle National School, where my daughter now attends. So I grew up very much in a family that was particularly political, and over the years was very much involved with politics at a very young age. So in some ways that was lucky and unlucky, and the lucky side of it was the fact that I was there for an extremely interesting time in politics in Longford, when Albert Reynolds was at the at his height of his power, up to the point where he became Taoiseach. And that was a huge insight at the time, at a very young age, into Irish politics that has stood with me over the years. So from that I moved on, and I lived in Dublin for 10 years. And I wrote a number of books about politics. One of them, the first one, was autobiographical, which was Party Time Growing Up in Politics, which just kind of gave people, I think, an unusual insight into politics on the ground for ordinary supporters, because a lot of even the academic institutions, one of the things they note about it is that it's the only book still that looks at politics from the ordinary person's point of view, as opposed from a minister or a Taoiseach or something like that. In Fianna Fáil at the time, they have the local unit of the party is called a Cumann, and my parents were very involved in the Cumann, and I got involved. So I was appointed the youth officer of my Cumann when I was 10. And that was coming up to the 1987 election. And, you know, having all those wonderful tasks like putting up posters, all that kind of stuff, that was all very important stuff for the likes of a Cumann youth officer. And it was something that I enjoyed, and I enjoyed the thrill of politics at the time. As I say, as I got a little bit older, you got better tasks, better jobs, canvassing, stuff like that. But it was a very interesting time in Longford. Something that, I suppose, a small county like Longford, where everybody is very close-knit. If you're a Taoiseach and you're in Dublin, even in a Dublin constituency, it's not the same. You people don't know each other to the same degree. They can come from very different backgrounds. In Longford, everybody absolutely did know everybody. So it was a very unique time in politics in the county.
Johnny is someone who understands how the major changes in social media have affected the political area in particular. And in the next section, he talks about the major change really from the olden days, where politicians with effective press officers could in effect control the message in many respects that was being spoken about them in the media, whereas now basically that's been turned completely on its head.
It's changing in some ways. Certainly the idea of politicians, I think the idea of politicians being able to control what's happening is disappearing. If you went back to the 80s and 90s, politicians were very much convinced that they could control the media. They had a press office. If you had a good press officer, you could handle what was said in the media. That's been subverted by things like social media, by a 24-hour news cycle. I think politicians have to be a lot more open to the idea that they won't always agree. You can't have a unified line, and you have to accept disagreement a little bit more and not be as disciplined. Well, at the same time, I suppose it provokes a certain amount of honesty and briefing and information. A TD can't get away with the fact now that maybe 15, 20 years ago, they could say, I'll come back to you on that. People won't wait for you to come back now. You need to have the answer.
Newtown Cashel is a beautiful, small rural parish in South Longford, and for Johnny Fallon, it's home.
Yeah, I suppose the good thing about a rural parish like Cashel is it doesn't change dramatically. And that's one of the things that I think people like about it when they live there. There's certain, I suppose, security in that. Growing up, it's a very rural parish, one of the most rural in the county. It's well away from main roads or anything like that. But again, it's that social grouping that everybody has, that, that feeling of the parish and the pride in the parish. So things like your GAA team are huge because they're the things that draw people together. When you're a child, things like community games, all those kind of things just bring you closer together. Parents get to know each other through these kind of activities as well with their kids. And it's a very strong tie that brings everyone. Now, again, I was lucky growing up at the time. Cashel had some amazing football teams and dominated for a period of 6 or 7 years the Longford GAA scene, which again was amazing for a small parish. Over the years, certain things have changed. It's been harder to keep people in the parish. People move away, especially young people. The draw of going to Dublin for a job or going abroad has increased. And I think people feel a bit more pressure to move away and do well and all that kind of thing. So it's tough to keep a community together, because I think more people are working outside of the community or travelling for jobs. Less people are involved in things like farming, which keeps them in the community all the time, and more people are travelling around them. That makes it a little bit harder to keep a community together.
I wanted to find out more about Johnny's move from Dublin back to Longford, and in particular how he handles his day-to-day work, working from his base at home in Newtown Cashel, and just to get further thoughts, especially when we're in the era where, you know, a lot of people are going in the opposite direction.
I was 10 years living in Dublin, and I had met a Dublin girl, and we'd settled down and bought a house in Dublin. And we were pretty much content at staying there at that time. I always had a desire to move home. I always liked country life and that. So while I wanted to move home, it was something I wasn't sure I'd ever manage. As things happened, work kind of changed slightly, that I began to be able to do more work remotely and work from home and a lot of things. So that created an opportunity that I thought, it doesn't matter where I am, I don't need to be in the city centre every day for work. Then, of course, we had our first child in 2006. And I think particularly at that point, myself and my wife sat down and we just thought it was much easier. And there was more to offer a child in a place like Longford and a place like Newtown Cashel than there was living in a suburban sprawl of Lucan or any of the other areas around Dublin. So we took the decision that we could move down and give a much better quality of life to family and children, and that was critical in that decision.
So life is good in
Longford? Yeah, we've been enjoying it since we moved back, and you know, like everything else, it has its moments and its disadvantages, but you know, certainly you can't just walk around for your pizza on the corner anymore, but we're enjoying the other attributes. Well, my work is a broad mix, I suppose, of writing, researching, and, you know, some what you might call consultancy-based work. Well, that breaks down, like, on the writing side of it, either between writing books or more regularly articles for the likes of the Irish Independent online, or, you know, any blogs, anything like that. Those kind of articles are, you know, you get asked for them. Specialist magazine may ring you up and say, you know, we want an article on something that's happening. And the more crises there are in the likes of a government, the better it is for me, because the more news people want. So when you're writing on those topics, they can be emailed in wherever you are. You don't need to be sitting in an office to do them. On the side of the work like research, again, you know, if you went back 15, 20 years and you were to be a researcher, you had to be where you could get at, say, an Oireachtas library, or you could get in some of the major libraries in Dublin to research stuff or archives. The amazing thing in the modern world is that pretty much on your phone, you could research most stuff you'll ever need to at the touch of a button. So again, as a researcher, you don't need to have that kind of situation where you're living in a city or anything else. You can have it right at home. And then in consultancy work, which mostly involves just people looking for advice on a particular issue or a particular project for a period of time, and that can involve, yes, traveling up or down to a client at any given time for, you know, general PR advice, but again, it's very feasible to do from the likes of Longford.
Johnny, like myself, is a big fan of the social network Twitter. And I wanted to talk to him about that, and by extension, I wanted to talk to him about how social media you know, can be used effectively. But I wanted to hone in on the, you know, a lot of comments that I would get from different people I would talk to online or about social media and online technology in general, who would say that using Twitter as an example, why would I want to use Twitter? Because I'm not interested in telling people what I had for breakfast this morning. And while Twitter indeed is something that you can tell someone what you had for breakfast this morning, when used properly, it can be much more powerful than that.
You know, there is that always that element, I think, when people see social media, they think, you know, it's there's a lot of nonsense information. But equally so, the same people probably feel to look up something on the likes of Google or an internet search, they'll find, you know, there's too much there that I don't need to know, and they like to have it very targeted. But I think after a while, when you get used to it, you discover a couple of things about it. One is, I suppose, what you might term the official side of it or the business side of it, which is as an information stream. I mean, you can go on to your Twitter stream first thing in the morning, and you will probably have the headlines and main stories and links to every newspaper story, whatever is the major talking point is already there, without you ever having to switch on a radio, go to look at the TV, you know, take out any kind of the traditional media. You're always trying to figure, this is what this station's saying, what that station's saying, what this paper's saying. With social media, you get it all in a snapshot, and you know pretty much already with various trends what people are talking about and what's the story that's really going to grab them. The second thing about social media, of course, is that it then allows you to feed back into it. As opposed to traditional media, it allows you to give your opinion straight away on something, and it allows people to start discussing it. And sometimes through that, stories and points of view start to develop far quicker than they would have if people were just in their own home having read a newspaper and thinking about it. So I think there's all that element of it. And then there's very much, as the name suggests, a social element to it. There's people you meet, people you talk to, people you might never have come into contact with before, and probably never would in normal life. But you manage through this medium to talk to them, to discuss points with them, and to build friendships through it as well.
Continuing the conversation regarding social media, I wanted to talk to him about the exciting times recently in his home, Newtown Cashel, regarding the celebrity bonnet store and the effect that had in a positive way on his own local community.
Yeah, I think, you know, the celebrity bonnet store experience in for Newtown Cashel was very positive on the community. And what you have was a situation where you had a celebrity coming in and you had a TV station coming in trying to push the idea of talking about it and wanting people to talk about their parish and talk about what was going on, not just among themselves, but to let everybody else know as well. And that encouraged people to use things like Facebook, social media like Twitter as well, to push the idea of what was happening. And it brought people together in a way that, you know, I suppose people who wouldn't even have known each other were on Twitter or have found each other, were suddenly finding each other, talking to each other. People who had left the likes of Newtown Cashel were in Australia or the UK were managing to reconnect with people on Twitter via the fact that they were all using the same hashtags or they were all using the same accounts trying to get their information. And I think it did make people feel that this goes back to the idea I was saying earlier, that in communities where people don't necessarily work and spend all their time within the parish, they're working outside of that, and it's harder to draw them together. Social media managed to do it in the likes of that celebrity bonnet store experience, because people who didn't normally get to meet or may not normally have been involved with the GAA club itself were suddenly getting in touch with other people and hearing about activities. They were hearing about things that were going on, you know, online, such as, you know, a parish barbecue or get-togethers. Because so many people nowadays, either maybe they don't go to Mass, which would have been the traditional way of finding out about stuff, maybe they don't go to the same community activities, or they don't have kids to hear about the information. So they end up really, there's a gap there for information that people need to focus on, and that can come through the likes of Twitter or Facebook, where you can get those regular updates.
I was interested to get Johnny's views on Longford in general. Longford gets its fair share of negative criticism, and I think in many ways gets an unfair share of negative criticism as well. And I thought Johnny was a perfect person to ask to give his thoughts on that general area, and I wanted to see, you know, is there is there cause to be optimistic for the future? What are his thoughts? So he spoke about bad taste in the mouth from ghost estates. He talked about creating a focused generic plan for the county. Generally, he talked about wanting to get across that we should be proud of our achievements to date and focus on what has gone well in the county, what are the positive aspects that should be focused on for the future, because it is very easy, and any county can do this, any place can focus on the negative aspects, but it's just not going to really help anything or anybody. We just got to look to the future in a positive light. And I was pleasantly, not surprised, I should say, but it was good to hear Johnny's comments on this area.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of challenges facing the likes of Longford. You have obviously things like the ghost estates, and a major problem for Longford is that in the Celtic Tiger boom, it's sometimes missed out on some of the good bits. You know, some of the things that investment that came tended to come a little bit late in the Celtic Tiger. And some areas where they got very fancy hotels and sports complex and everything out of it, shopping centres, so on and so forth. We were just coming into that kind of era when everything collapsed. And it's left, I think, a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, understandably. But I think Longford still has a lot to offer. And it has a lot to offer going forward, both where it's placed geographically, I think where it's placed socially. And I think the fact that it has quite a lot to offer any firm that will be coming here investment-wise. The trick is for Longford in the years to come, it has to focus on that investment and decide what is its major selling point. And in particular, how do you differentiate Longford from other counties that are right round about it in the region? If you're looking to get people to invest here and you're looking for them to come to Longford, what are the advantages Longford can offer? And I think that there are quite a few, but they're not necessarily all just about rail lines, roads, things like that. You have to have a focused plan on what you're doing in terms of the geography of the area, the rural life, where people can live, what kind of quality of life you can offer them. And focusing, I think, to some degree on people actually moving to the likes of Longford to come here for jobs. If you get an investment firm willing to set up here, then obviously a certain amount of employees are going to have to move here and be attracted by the jobs. And you need to be able to convince firms that Longford has what it takes to attract those people to move in, to come to the community. But I think it does. It's the major problem for Longford, I think, is really believing in itself, and it needs to improve that aspect. And once upon a time, I suppose, counties always had their own sense of pride. In recent times, that's been taken a bash for every county. And for Longford, where, you know, we don't have perhaps what other counties might have, and we're not, you know, winning the All-Ireland is not something we set out to do every year. It's not a county that looks to huge amounts of heroes from its past. But what we do have, I think we can be very proud of. And the level of achievement from Longford has been very strong nationally. So I think they've got to focus on that, and people have got to start thinking, how do we make Longford a proper community for people?
In conclusion of this podcast, I think a lot can be learned from people like Johnny Fallon from Longford. I mean, they've taken their fair share of flack over the years for where they've come from, but they're very passionate about the place where henceforth they came, the people that they represent, and basically I think we can learn a lot from their attitude and the positive take they have, but also the realistic take as well as regards where Longford is and the challenges it has to overcome. I'd like to thank Johnny for his time in giving us this opportunity to speak to him and publish it. We conducted the interview in the Backstage Theatre, so I'd like to thank everyone there for the use of their facilities, and I hope you've enjoyed this, what is effectively the first proper podcast from longfordlocal.com. Johnny is on Twitter at Johnny Fallon. His website again is johnnyfallon.wordpress.com, and this podcast will be available on longfordlocal.com and our various social network profiles, which you'll find by going to the website. So my name is John Walsh, and I look forward to talking and discussing with you at hopefully many points in the future.